Welcome to the Productivity Mastery Podcast, presented to you by myself, Stoyan Yankov, productivity and performance coach, keynote and TEDx speaker, and co-author of the Perform Methodology, and the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. Join me on a journey to discover what some of the world's leading professionals do to be more productive, create peak performing teams, and build successful global companies. New episodes weekly. And now, enjoy today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Productivity Mastery in the new format that we are doing these days, so-called Perform in Times of Crisis. For those of you who are joining for the first time, my co-author Cristobal Alonso and I are starting to work on a new book called Perform in Times of Crisis, a sequel of the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. And with it, we are interviewing experienced and inspiring leaders from all across the globe, exploring together what it takes to lead in times of crisis. We have already done interviews with the founding president of Starbucks, Howard Bihar, with Georgi Malchev, founder of ExploreBG, leading digital agency. And today I have a chance to welcome back on the podcast. Actually, Ilma, you're the first person that's appearing three times on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Which would mean something. Ilma has been such an inspiration for me and for the thousands of readers of the book. She's already been featured in the first book, sharing some great ideas on how to improve your culture. Ilma is a serial entrepreneur. She's the co-founder and CEO of The Remote Company, which is a company that has several companies under its hat. You probably have heard about MailerLite. Was it this year you guys got acquired?
This June,
they made an exit. And I got to tell you, I follow Ilma's blog or The Remote Company blog. There's so many good stuff about company culture and everything you're going to hear today. That's why I'm so excited about having Ilma back on the podcast, is based on experience. And before we go into the topic, which is performing in times of crisis, I would like to ask you, Ilma, about your new book. You have a book. What's the name of the book? And
maybe I should take it just a minute. Just a second.
So Ilma has written a book where she's sharing her learnings, the lessons from her journey as a founder. Ilma, show us the book and tell us what is the book about.
So that's the book, Leaving the Base Camp. And it's a book about building business, because building business is quite a personal journey. And I think a lot of founders, they do have internal struggles, and you can see how they kind of become part of the business. So I think it's really important, even today when we're talking about crisis, quite often companies face crisis when their founders or leaders are facing crisis as well. So I think it's really important to be aware of that. And the biggest crisis, I believe, that you can face, it's staying in the base camp. It means that you already did something, you are kind of accomplished, you can write something, I don't know, on your social media, but you just stayed because you don't want to go forward. You don't want to you want to feel safe, right? And I think that's not the way to do, because in nature, we know all about evolution, and it's like journey, it's part of our life, and it should be. So this is why I called the book Leaving Base Camp, how important it is to go forward and how important it is to have a team that you can trust to conquer mountains. Or business, whatever goals.
What a great way to start, leaving the base camp, which is such a great metaphor for, uncertainty, right? Like you have to leave the base camp if you want some things to happen, if you want to reach some summits. I can't wait to get myself a signed copy of the book, first of all. But I want to start with this question. When I say managing crisis, what comes to mind if you think about your entrepreneurial journey? What's the first example or story or situation that comes to mind?
Mm-hmm. I like to say that being a leader is not being a fireman. And if you have a lot of fires on a daily basis in your company, something is really wrong with your organization. So I think from my perspective, crisis, usually it's an opportunity. And even I actually even went and Googled what crisis is. And it says in Google that it is a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. And I think that's a great description, right? So I think it's just one of these, you know, decisions to conquer another summit, right? And it's, you know, our lives is all about that. I think, so for me, I mean, obviously crisis happened and it's like a moment when you're not prepared, you didn't, you know, envision it, right? You didn't want to be part of it and you have no idea what to do. I think the most important thing during crisis is just to breathe in, out, and not to freak out, because the things that you're gonna do during crisis are the things that are gonna have impact in long term. So there's like, it's really important to stick to your own values instead of just freaking out and pretend that everything is fine or to lie or whatever you want to do as like part of your emotional state, right? Or run. So I think it's really important to breathe in, to understand that it's part of business, part of life, and remember where you're coming from, what you believe in, and what you can do right now, the best you can do right now today.
And how do you, I mean, now you have quite some experience in the entrepreneurial world. How do you do that when fire starts to burn, like when unexpected crises appear? What do you do to center yourself and kind of remain calm so you can address the situation from a higher frequency state?
Mm-hmm. When I remember some of the crisis in our company, let's say at MailerLite, when, for example, app wasn't working and we had no idea why, right? So I think this is where the team comes in. This is why it's really important to have a team that you can trust, because they are the people who are going to be surrounded, with whom you're going to make decisions, right? And most probably, some of them, they won't be like the wisest one. They were the wisest one at that point, but maybe long run, you would kind of come up with something better. So I remember once when we had a really big crisis, so some people could fix the bug, some developers were working, but then, I don't know, marketing people had no idea what to do, because like, you don't want to market an app that is not working this weekend, right? So instead, they were writing a communication plan that we would use later on. So I think crisis, and especially not even maybe during crisis, but especially after that, it's really important to reflect and to get ready for the next one, because it will happen. It's just, you can be sure about it. So I think having some kind of communication plan, what to do, whenever happens, and you don't know even what to say to the customers because you don't have a decision. You don't know when it's going to be fixed because you have no idea what to fix, right? So this is when we wrote the whole plan, even what to do, and that we want to be, you know, open with our customers, and we're going to say what it is, and we're going to, I don't know, there was like even time frame, how often we say what, depending on the situation, situation. If we know what's happening.
Is that a crisis management plan in a way?
Crisis management and communication is one, right? Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, and I think it's easier to make when you're already in a crisis because you have some experience. And so I think it's really important to be aware of your what you do, and then the crowd that surrounds you that might help you. It's really, really essential.
Love it. So those of you listening, maybe you want to consider already now having a plan, or the first time the crisis hits, then you can come down with the step by step. Ilma, you mentioned a few times values and team and culture, and I want to talk about that. As you know, the first chapter of the book of the acronym PERFORM, the first letter is purpose and values. Mm-hmm. And we truly believe in this, and I know how much you believe in culture and values, and what do you think is how important is to invest in culture in relation to being able to address a crisis later when the crisis hits in a smoother manner as a team?
Yeah. Well, I think crisis is a great way to see if you're surrounded by people that you can trust and how they react, right? So this is why a lot of people are doing these uncomfortable team buildings, right? Instead of having real crisis, they kind of play around what it's like when we are working together in crisis, right? So even astronauts, before going and leaving the Earth, they are going to a really uncomfortable hike together just to know more about each other. And when I was writing the book, because the name is Leaving the Base Camp, so I was reading a lot about people that are conquering summits. And there was really interesting research about the teams based on their diversity. So in summit in Everest, right, the success rate is just like the biggest successful rate is that you're going to go there, you're going to come back, and the whole team is going to be safe and sound and, you know, happy, right? But sometimes crisis, and in there, it means like death, right? They do happen. And it's interesting that during these periods and these moments, the diverse team is really important, because some people might be very logical. Some people might be, I don't know, like different people might help in different ways. And it's not a time for discussion. So you do need to have these leaders that will kind of show and lead and will do what needs to be done, right? So that's a really interesting aspect as well, right? Because it's not just culture and team. Obviously, it's important. But I think, especially now at times when it's so easy to have a diverse team because you can hire globally, right? So I think having that, it's really important, even to understand how we are different, you know, how I could, you know, what I could do and how you could contribute, you know, because it should be 1 + 1 more than 2, right?
That's super interesting. I never heard that before. Like I want to talk more about it. So diverse team, do you mean people driven by the same values, beliefs, kind of, but then having different strengths and reacting differently? That's a key to go through a crisis in a smoother manner.
I think so. Cause you know, these people who are like going to mountains, so they have one goal, right? They're all like, they trained for that. They did a lot of stuff before that to be able to, you know, to go to the mountains, to go to the Everest. And if it's fine, you can be with a very similar minded people with a similar even personalities. You can, I don't know, sing along together the same songs and it's totally fine. But if there's something that, anything that is like kind of crisis moment, a difficult moment when something, you know, happens urgently, this is when it's not about democracy that much. This is why it's really important to know who can help how and who's going to be the leader in the team. So yeah, I was surprised by that research as well, but it's been done for more than 50 years. So they're just writing down the groups where they're from, because, you know, every nationality, we do have to tend more into, I don't know, different kind of leadership, let's say, right?
Oh, that's super interesting. I think it makes sense. Just really made me think now. And you mentioned that companies often will do these kind of team buildings and retreats where they'll artificially put people in stressful situations so they can see how they react as a team. Have you done anything yourself where you did some more strange team offsides, so with different purposes like that?
Of course. I mean, I think, you know, it's always fun to meet and have a party. And it's really like a thing that's something that is really, it's good for the company. It's good to have memories, but I think that's not the point where you grow together. And growing, I think it's much more easier to grow together rather than to grow on your own in your one room, right? So whenever we meet, usually we do some uncomfortable activities because it means growing. So once we did a hike with our team that lasted for more than, I think, 10 or 11 hours. And it was a really great way for us to understand how we just communicate together, you know, because for the first 2 or 4 hours, everybody's still kind of pretending to be the best themselves. But at the end of the 10th hour, you're really being you. And I was really super proud of the team. This is when you understand that you have a really people with really diverse backgrounds and you know, it's just, you know, the way to move that, you know, wheel even in the team, because somebody is a great visionary, another one is a great analytic, another one is it's a person that just really wants to do stuff and you know, have checklists, right? Another one is challenging you because they always want to stop and reflect and think what could be done better. So I think whatever situation is, knowing yourself in uncomfortable moments is just it's just a shortcut, right?
That's really interesting. You know, many people listening maybe from bigger companies would be thinking 10 hours of a hike, you know, they'll file complaints, you know, people would be unhappy and so on. But I would imagine if you have this as part of your culture, as part of your values, this kind of resilience, and I'm looking at the values of right now from the webpage of the remote company. We focus on people, we learn and transform, we simplify, we take responsibility. Here's probably the part, right? We are positive, even if we have to hike for 10 hours, I guess.
Yeah, one thing that I didn't mention is that every team had a psychologist together hiking. And the next day after the hike, we spent the whole day talking. Where were the moments that we didn't feel comfortable? What was wrong? Where some people maybe stayed silent, you know, because being silent is a decision as well, right? And working remotely, if you have a lot of people staying silent, you might, you know, you might didn't notice a lot of important things, right? So I think having being done it together with the professionals, it's even better because they do know, you know, limits to people and they can create your team. But at the same time, they are professionals. They do know what needs to be done. And I think having these conversations and reflecting in this general is something that we don't do too much, I think, in our world. Right now, we're just running, running, running. So I think it doesn't matter if it's a hike, if your crisis is a hike, if your crisis is something else. To stop and reflect and talk about it, I think it's really important step to learn and grow together.
And probably in this context, it would be great for you to give a bit of a picture to the audience. You know, how many people are you? How many countries do you operate from? And you know, the whole remote, it's the remote company, right? But I think people probably would be good to know, what does it mean that you guys are a remote company?
Mm-hmm. So the remote company unites 6 SaaS products, business-to-business tools. And we are a team of more than 140 people that are based in 35 countries. These countries are obviously changing because some people do travel a lot. And we are working from, 14 different time zones. That's another kind of challenge as well. And we've been doing that, not after COVID, we've been doing that for the last 8 years.
And I think that's going to be relevant for everybody listening right now, no matter if you are a founder or you work for a large company. You know, the last couple of years, the world changed quite a bit. The preferences of people, the style of working, hybrid work model, working from the office remotely, it's completely transformed. And maybe if you can share with us, how did you manage to find your rhythm, having in mind you are in these 10, 11 time zones? There's people from so many different nationalities. How do you find your rhythm in terms of communicating and being productive while working remotely?
I think in our case, it was much more easier because it was our decision and we made it on our own time. So we had the luxury to experiment, to try out, to see what works for us, what didn't. Another thing that is a big advantage from our perspective is that we always hired globally and remotely. It means that we don't have to convince anyone to work remotely because this is what they applied for. So I think it's much more easier than for the companies who started working remotely because of COVID, especially if they have the friction of people wanting to go to the office and people who want to stay at home. I think having hybrid team is much more difficult than being remote first or office first, or because it's like it's really challenging. And I think it should start with being just super transparent. So in our case, what we do, we even write our personal manuals, how to work with me. So I have a manual, how to work with me. And I think it's really important for somebody that joins my team to understand what to expect from me, because it might be very different things, right? We recently had a really interesting discussion about emojis. Some of our team members believe that emoji with just smile, it's something that is it's kind of bad and it's not positive. So I'm learning as well. I think we just what is really important most probably is just to be okay that we don't know a lot of stuff, and we have to be open about it and be clear about it. And if you are not okay with some emoji, it's better to talk about it instead of assume that everybody is just like you, because we are not. So even when we onboard, we are giving some content about global perspective. And for example, how are you or how do you do? Is it a question that you want to hear an answer to, or is it just hello? And it depends on different regions, right? Here in the United States, it's just a greeting. Nobody wants to hear that you are bad, that you just had a bad day, right? So I think having that perspective and starting like as a default that we are not the same, but our default setting that we are different. And now let's find how different we are and how we can work together and how can we complement each other. That's a journey that we are doing and will be doing, because I think it's just a process, never ending.
And what are some of the items on the list of how to work with Ilma?
I am the one that might come up with a lot of ideas during the weekend on evenings. So I usually write that on Slack, but it doesn't mean that somebody has to reply. I just don't want to forget. And that might be very different ideas. I might write one to marketing department, another one to support team. And some of them before actually sharing that and before, because it's written format. Some of the team members said, oh my God, right now I can just, you know, have my weekend and don't worry about your Slack messages. Because before I had no idea if I have to reply, and they're like, out of nowhere. So like, I don't know, do we have to make a project out of it, or is it just an idea? So I think being clear, first you have to know yourself, then you have to be able to communicate it as clearly as possible to your team members, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes reminding them again and again, because they might, you know, we all forget, we're humans, and we forget that, as you said, most people do not see the world exactly the way we see the world, right? Yeah. And if you are on Slack on Sunday, just because you don't want to forget it, but somebody might be like, oh my God, my boss is writing me. I need to reply to that. And you don't want to mess up the weekend of somebody. You just want him to, but you need to know that. This is so cool. The, you know, expectations on how to work with me and having discussions around it. Okay, let's talk about the remote work management. Mm-hmm. How do you guys communicate and not just communicate in terms of operationally, hey, this needs to be done and so on, which would be interesting to hear, but more, you know, one thing that I heard many times during the Corona crisis by leaders and executives being people actually more productive than before. But what I'm struggling to see is when they're not okay, because they show up on Zoom, we have a chat, they're not in the office. When they're in the office, I can observe them and I can see, okay, this person is struggling. There's something, I can go talk to them. When we work remotely, everybody shows up and want to be their best, right? So how do we observe and make sure that we care for our people in remote setup?
Mm-hmm. Well, even in the office, I think we it looks like everybody has so many good memories from the office, but I think it's really worth remembering and bad things about it. Because, you know, Monday chat, how are you? Great. How was your weekend? Great. It's not caring. It's just, you know, it's just kind of polite. And there were a lot of discussions and a lot of talks in the office that were really superficial. And I think quite often they were like just distraction, right? So this is why is a lot of people are showing how effective they are and productive they are when they're doing stuff on their own time without any distractions. And I think that's another way, you know, I think it's important to give space where people could actually say how they are. And I believe that written communication, asynchronous communication means that it's not you have to react right now, like I write to you, how are you? You write good. I think written is kind of, it goes much more deeper, especially if you are great with questions. So this is why giving space and having, in our case, we are doing like monthly check-ins with our team. So it means it's just not a survey about engagement and asking how engaged you are, but it's actually two-way street because the manager will reply and they know that they're gonna reply to the answers, to the questions, whatever it is. And I do believe that it's really, it's possible to have culture remotely as well, but it doesn't have to be made only kind of synchronously because people just don't have enough time to be in all the meetings. And there's so many different ways to work together and to connect together other than just meeting and talking right now. So in our case, in Slack, we have as many Slack channels as people want to have. And part of them, I think one third is for sure not about work. It's like meant to talk about different hobbies. And then some others, they are like, I don't know, question a day. So every single day, somebody will write a random question and our team members will react. And I think that's a great way to connect people that don't work together. And maybe, you know, even with the office myself, usually I didn't know people who were in different floor than me, right? So, and even though we might have something in common, but I just didn't ever, you know, encounter that we have, right? So I think right now it's a great time for leaders to be more intentional rather than superficial. Culture is not Christmas party. Culture is much more, it's what you do every single day, how your team members react, how you connect your team members, because leader doesn't, he doesn't have to, he or she doesn't have to be right now, right here, everywhere, right? I think it's much more about stepping back, noticing, and joining some dots that haven't been joined before.
Who takes care of the leaders in times of crisis, Elma?
Well, that's a good question, I think. And recently, I was listening to a really, really great podcast where Brené Brown and Simon Sinek and Adam Grant was talking about that. I'm happy to hear that we hear more and more about mental health, about leaders' mental health as well. Because, you know, usually, I don't know, even HR, they're taking care of the team members, they're asking how you are and so on. Being a leader, it is a decision with a responsibility that it means that you're going to take care of yourself. And it means mental health as well. So I think I am always for leaders going to therapies because quite often the things that stops us is something that was in your childhood, whatever. And it really reflects in your team because if you have some insecurities, most probably they're going to become part of your team culture because you do want to micromanage, because you just don't trust or whatever. And it's not even about these people, it's more about you. So I think coming back to yourself and knowing yourself and going a bit deeper and being uncomfortable, I think it's really important. And I'm happy that we have more and more discussions about it publicly.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the natural tendency of a leader when crisis hits is, I'm going to be there to protect. I'm going to be there to do my best. And I would say sometimes we forget that if you give all your energy to, you know, to cool the fire and be there for everybody, but you don't take good care of yourself, it's not a great strategy. So I wonder if you have any suggestions and tips on specifically when there's crisis, right? Because yes, we sometimes need to act really fast and move boldly, make decisions, be there for everybody. But how do we as leaders take good care of ourselves?
Well, I think crisis is not something that should happen every single week. It's something that is really, you know, it hits once in a while. So I think this is why it's really important just to take care of yourself daily. You know, it's just, I don't know, like being a mom, right? You know, when you become mom, usually you just stop being sick because you don't have time for it. So I think, you know, having rituals on daily life, how you're taking care of yourself, getting enough sleep, I don't know, walking or whatever, taking care of your mental health, whatever it is, you know, for some people it might be going to Taekwondo, for others it's just having meditation. I think it's really personal. This is why it's really important to know yourself, because during crisis, most probably you will be working during the night, and most probably you will have, you know, it will be kind of, you know, stressful, and that's fine. This is what you need to do, what needs to be done, and it's totally fine. But I think this is why you have to be your 100% on daily basis, because whatever happened, you're going to have the energy. And I think we do tend to talk a lot about like time management, but I think we have to talk more about energy management, right? So that we will be always 100% with our energy to be able, you know, to react to the crisis, because it's not just crisis and stress. I think crisis is always also a big, big opportunity. And this is where you have to step back as well to see if there's any, right? I live in New York City, and recently I went to the Museum of the City, and there was a story about what they did during the Great Depression, right? So this is when the city put all the money to public spaces. So it meant that people would get work because they built a lot of swimming pools and parks.
Really? But
at the same time, it meant that all the kind of New Yorkers that were really struggling, they got these parks and they got these swimming pools. And I think being able to make a decision on the crisis, this is where great leadership comes in. You know, being a great leader when it's all good, it's easy. I think we always have to be, you know, we should be looking for these opportunities and for these, you know, other steps and making big choices. And sometimes it might be, crisis might be a right moment for it.
Yeah, this is so good. And the, as you said, leaders are burdened with the, they have to make the tough choices, right? The tough decisions in difficult times. And I do believe the recent pandemic, the COVID crisis, one of the challenges for many people, which is, I think is correlated with the increased mental health challenges, has been exactly the fact that we've been locked home. Nobody thought about, hey, you guys got, you have to exercise, you have to take care of what you eat, you have to sleep well, like all those kind of simple, I mean, as you probably know in the first book, and we're going to get back to it, we have this framework on how to, what are the key areas that you need to pay attention to in order to have your energy in check, right? Exercise, E for exercise, and nutrition. Secondly, excitement at the workplace and out of the workplace. R stands for relationships. G is good sleep. And Y is you time, time for yourself. If you pay attention to those things on a consistent basis, you have a way bigger chance to respond to any crisis from a better place, from a higher frequency. Doesn't mean it's not going to affect you, but these are super important things, right? And even in crisis, like, hey, go for a run, go and exercise. You feel better, no matter how stressful it is. We forget about those things, not just as leaders to do that, but giving a great example to our people, creating space and inspiring these things. We spoke to some founders for the previous book who were, and I'm sure Euma, you guys are doing a lot of these practices as well, who were inspiring, you know, company hours, company time. Let's have an hour to talk about our habits, right? Of productivity habits or energy habits. What do you exercise? Okay, 1 hour, people come in groups, they talk about how do they exercise. And it's paid by the company, right? And sometimes you bring in coaches, you're bringing other people to support, but the leader is intentionally building a culture where people pay attention to the basic stuff that everybody knows. Doesn't mean we'll do it, right? So
yeah. Another thought that came to me is that, you know, sometimes, you know, in crisis, usually you don't have a choice. You have to make a decision because something happened, right? I think that sometimes for the leaders, it's even more important and more difficult to make difficult decisions when the time looks like good one. And myself, I do believe that it's much more important to make these decisions when it's still good rather than wait when everything is already falling down. So I think this one is really important as well. And, you know, COVID was crisis for sure. Nobody like it was like so much uncertainty. Everybody went to remote and so on. But a lot of companies did similar stuff, right? And we like people were sharing, you know, ideas. How could you improve something? Right now, I believe that this is the state of chaos. And, you know, somebody wants to come to the office, somebody don't. Usually, let's face it, right, managers want to see the team in the office and they're not coming back. We have the kind of the situation of financial crisis somewhere in the air as well. And I think right now, it's kind of, you won't call it crisis, but it's for sure, it's full of uncertainties. Right? And I think for the leader to feel good, that is part of their life, it's really important kind of instead of try to go with status quo or try to go how the world was in 2020 at the beginning, right? So I think right now it's even more important to know yourself, to know your values, to have trustworthy team, and to understand why you want people to bring back to office, for example, or why you want people to be in the meetings, I don't know, for 10 hours a day, or why. I think it's a right timing to ask these questions and to understand there's no way to come back how it used to be. And that right now it's a time to make these difficult decisions that might have really a big impact for the long term or on businesses.
And in that context, I wonder, by the way, I think it's an important question because people listening to you, Euma, you have this positive energy, you appear so confident and calm and you know, building all these businesses, so super successful lady, right? And I think people sometimes forget that we are human. Because they see you on podcast and it's like, oh, she has it figured out, right? But I wonder, first of all, do you have bad days, right? And when you do, let's say, because one of the things about crisis could be, I don't know, legal issue, right? 2 weeks or a few months. So it might not be a day. It might be months. And that means it could actually exhaust you. It can put you in a very overwhelmed situation, no matter how much you care about your energy, right? Mentally, physically, whatever. I wonder, when you have been in a situation of being overwhelmed or exhausted, and you do have to make some tough choices, two more or less, you know, what is the less bad choice? Not like what is a good choice, right? How do you get the courage to decide? Like, do you have any practices, anything do you do to be able to lead in such times?
Mm-hmm. Well, to begin with, I like going deeper into wordings. I rarely call something crisis. it's just like problems. I call them challenges. So think whatever I think, and it helps because you look at problems different when they call, when you call them challenges. Because this is when you not just want to fix, but you tend to see even like some opportunities there. So I think whatever happens, I don't even remembering myself saying that we have crisis. I mean, maybe, you know, when maybe that weekend that I told you before about, right? When it suddenly nothing is working and it's because crisis is something that can't last for a long time because just as human being, you can't feel stressful for a long time. It's really bad for your body, for your mental health, for your energy, right? So I think, you know, and there's a great, I think, research on fear of speaking publicly. They did research with people who would be afraid of that. And they would say how they feel, you know, a day before the speech, you know, 10 minutes before and so on. And then they did the same with famous singers. Interestingly, that they have the same things going on in the body. The reaction, how they react and what they think, what's happening are different. Some people would say, oh, it's stress, like it's crisis, whatever, I won't be doing that. And others would say, oh my God, like I feel that like my body is getting energized and it's like, I'm gonna go to the stage. So I think the way you react and even the way you word that thing that's going on with your life, it's really, this is the only thing that you can control. And every time when I have a choice, whatever happens, I think we were doing vacation in Venice and I got three flights were canceled. So I would book a ticket and in an hour I would get it canceled because it was some kind of a crisis. and you just make a choice. If there's something I can control or if you can't control, what's the point of me freaking out, right? So I think going to your head and watching how you're reacting, it's really great, like on a daily basis, just watch how you react on different things and make habits, you know, build habits that you are not just, you know, that you are conscious on your reactions rather than just, you know, you are being emotional about everything and you are, I don't know, screaming whatever happens. I think making a choice, it's important. And being conscious and intentional about the things that are going in your life, especially if you can control them, right?
Reminds me of Eckhart Tolle in his books, you know, The Power of Now and New Earth, I think it was the second Awakening, the second book, where one of the main messages he has is you need to create space between yourself and your emotions. And that could be through reflection, through journaling, through, you know, somehow breathing techniques and all and some other things to, so you can actually have space to reflect on it from a more positive place. And I love this, by the way, guys, this is gold. Reframing the narrative, as Ilma is saying. I think we're still going to keep the name of the book Perform in Times of Crisis because it's more catchy instead of Perform in Times of Challenge, right? But that's a different thing. But when crisis hits, not only you have to change the narrative so you feel better about a situation, but you're the leader and your job is to decrease the amount of stress to everybody else. And you know, one of the areas of Perform, R stands for robust communication. And this would be my last question, Ilma. In terms of communication, what is the role of a leader in times of a challenge? So I can reframe it, right? How do you act? Do you have to act differently? Do we have to simplify because people are stressed? Like, what do we do when a challenge hits that will be appropriate?
I think at that time, it's really important just to be here and now with everyone instead of trying to pretend or trying to be, I don't know, somewhere, especially like in our case, work remotely, right? So we do have to, I think in general, over communication is good. And especially in the times of crisis, because people feel much more safer. And even if you don't know something, and you will, and you always don't know something, right? I think it's good to be vulnerable and tell, you know, I have no idea what to do. And maybe some others have ideas. Maybe we should, I don't know, come up together with something, right? So I think being transparent, trusting your team, because if you make a if you made a decision that you hire these people and you work together, so let's hope that they're good on their times of crisis as well, and communicate as much as possible whatever happens. I think it's just and remember that the decisions that you're gonna make, they're gonna impact in long term. So it's better not to make decisions that you don't want to remember, right? So you have to remember that at the back of your mind as well, because you know you do have to come up to, you know, they should be based on your values and not on emotions.
So I said that's a final question. So I have a wrap-up question. Okay. My wrap-up question, Ilma, is imagine there's founders, entrepreneurs, maybe business leaders who get hit by crisis, by a challenge, by a difficult situation in the business that is their first big challenge. What would be your message to them?
Breathe in, out. Try to go a bit further. Share the situation with your team and see if they have some, you know, you might make a decision and maybe it's a crisis that it has to be made urgently, right? And if it's not, maybe you do have to talk with your team to come up with a better one, or you can come up with your decision and share it with the team and say, do you think it's a great one? And I think it's important to go to your website, check your values, if you have forgotten them, and think, what kind of decision would be the one that you would be proud of in a year?
Powerful. And I love the fact that I'm thinking about now this, that maybe one of the things we need to do is to evaluate, is that an urgent crisis or is that a crisis that would allow us to sit together, explore the different choices and options? Like, it's a great point.
Yeah, and I think at the end, I think it's really important when it's done, you do want to celebrate because it's like, right? Don't forget after the party to sit down and reflect, because that's the thing that I think usually is somehow forgotten. But I think it's really important for the future to kind of to grow out of the crisis and say that it's a lesson, right?
Ilma, I can't wait to have you for the fourth time at some point soon. It's always impressive to hear so many things that you don't read in books. Actually, there are things you can read in books, and maybe you can remind us about your book and remind us about where could people find you, find a remote company. Yes, it's here. Some people will only listen to the sound, so if you can share with us.
So the name of the book is Leaving the Basecamp. It's going to be on Amazon in November. So stay tuned. And you can follow me. I don't know. You can find me on LinkedIn, Ilma Tiki, or you can find me on Twitter, Ilma Tweets. So let's connect.
Yeah. And make sure to check out the guy's blog. I think it's theremotecompany.com/blog. Mm-hmm. So much good stuff, so many good ideas on company culture, leadership. Make sure to check them out. If you want to work in a company remotely with a great culture, check out the open positions and get in touch with Ilma, guys. What an impressive lady, what an impressive team. Thank you so much for being a giver, Ilma, and for joining the podcast, sharing your learnings for the third time. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
Bye. And to those of you listening, thank you so much for being with us. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. There've been more than 130 episodes of the podcast, so you can go subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube, or any other favorite podcast platform. We love being with you. Make sure to keep performing, even in times of crisis. So have a great one, especially in times of crisis, because crisis can be the best blessing, the best opportunity you encounter. So stay positive, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to my monthly newsletter by visiting stoyanyankov.com and also learn about the Perform methodology and the Perform book, as well as our various personal and team coaching offers. Stay tuned and keep performing.